Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
You put the "that" in. The vibes are good. And this week's topic is gaycations. Gaycation. We're gaycationing.
I want to say I thought of this topic.
This is the third topic Bree's thought of.
Literally.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Coming up on episode
150. And I'm actually proud of it. I feel like after this many episodes to think of something that's like a well-rounded topic.
Okay, let's not pump your own tires that much. Well-rounded?
No, I was like,
gaycation.
When it popped into my brain, I was like, it's gay.
Yeah.
It's a topic.
It's,
and we haven't done it yet.
Check.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm actually a fucking genius. Like, okay. How did this come to me?
So, all right. Also, have you seen Noodle the Pug on TikTok?
No.
There's this 13-year-old pug.
Okay.
And his name is Noodle.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner's thing is that he wakes him up in the morning.
Yes, I have seen that.
And if he has bones or no bones. Yeah.
He's so cute.
I woke up feeling like I was having a no bones kind of day.
Yeah.
But we've gotten some bones.
Some bones have
made their way into my no bones day. Yeah. There have been some erected bones. So we will be boning.
Perfect. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into gaycation, thank you so much to our patrons. And a huge shout out to Aiden, Emily, Kate, Olivia, Liz, and Serena. Thank you for your generous support of I Can Explain podcast. We're not going to say what, but let's just say come next week, there might be a really good reason to become a patron.
Yeah.
A real, real, real good reason to
yeah.
become a patron. So, if you're interested, there won't be any information now, but next week there will be. So you can get a jump on it. You can go listen to the bonus episodes. Go over to our Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. Click the link in the bio. There's merch there, too, coming up for the holidays.
Holidays.
Give a little I Can Explain merch.
Give a little I Can Explain merch to your homophobic grandma.
Oh, love that idea.
Explain this, bitch.
You can
bring
also
grandma to the gayborhood.
You can also follow us over there and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brian Williamson. Gaycations.
I always think that you're signing us off every time.
I'm like, goodbye.
She's fucking had it. That's how
it's
I feel.
The same, like, tone. Like, I'm about to say it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I say it the same exact fucking way. I bet you if someone cut and edited the way I say it, it's the exact same intonation every time.
For sure.
Because once I figure out how to say something,
yeah,
it'll stick.
Once you get that hard word down, it's coming out the same. Okay. So, yeah, gaycation.
I feel like this is unique.
How much pumping
because
of your tires for this fucking topic is there going to be?
I'm just noticing your new, fresh-looking underwear. Are those fresh, those underwear?
Freshly washed.
Freshly washed?
They're
okay.
They're not fresh, though.
Before we get into gaycation, I actually have something else I want to talk about.
Okay.
I just realized.
What?
I just bought for the first time period underwear.
Oh, I just bought for the first time new underwear. I was like, that
first
checks
time
out.
Ever yeah. since I moved out of my parents' house
yeah.
8 years ago.
You're I've been rocking just Christmas yeah. morning presents and that's it.
No, I got period underwear.
Okay.
So innovative. I don't know why I've gone all my life ruining every pair of pants and underwear that I fucking own without getting this period underwear.
Question.
Yeah.
Is the period underwear just underwear that you're going to wear on your period, or is there actual specific, like, it has advantages? Like
it has advantages.
Like, okay.
So, good question. It's not just,
thank
like, because I already have period underwear that doesn't have advantages. It's just,
that
like,
you're just like,
the trash
I'm
underwear.
Rock this shit
yeah.
until the wheels fall off.
Absolutely. Like, this shit's already gruesome. Let's make
yeah,
it worse.
Let's do fucking Camp Crystal Lake this bitch.
Exactly.
That's a Friday the 13th.
Reference.
Pun,
wow.
Yeah.
It is October, so we're here
exactly.
for that.
Exactly. I'm going to be hitting those spooky season puns all week long.
No, so this is like, I wear a Diva cup, and, but I still, let me tell you.
It's the splash zone down
it's
there.
It's the splash zone. When yeah. I'm on my period, it's like next fucking level. Even doctors have told me, like, it's aggressive. Like, I have to take, like, added iron, like prescription iron, because I lose, like, so much blood.
Do you ever
like,
spill your Diva cup? Like, have you ever spilled it?
When you sneeze, sometimes it rockets out. And then
sorry.
Yeah.
Like, it from inside, it rockets
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it rockets
full.
Out. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, like,
imagine
yeah.
having a Diva cup and allergies. But that's a dangerous combo.
It's funny, because every once in a while in the spring or whatever, I'll be sitting on the couch with Julia and I'll sneeze and I'm like, oh no. And I have to like do the run to the bathroom because it just rockets out.
I thought it was like pretty well lodged in there.
It is. It's just something about a sneeze really unlodges it. I've never had anything else do it. Like, I've done, like,
roller coasters.
Yoga. I've, like, you know, you can do anything. Yeah. It suctions right in there. But a sneeze, I think it's similar to, like, when you go to prison and they ask you to cough. Like, if anything's up your asshole, it's coming out.
Right.
You know?
So they should ask you to sneeze, too.
It's connected. So, yeah. It's never a worry about spillage due to it dislodging. It's just like, oh, the cuppeth is overflowing.
Right.
You know? And I just ruin all of my clothes, like, all the time.
Also,
like,
sorry, I was just thinking about what you just said.
The cup is
cuppeth?
Yeah.
Instead of the cup is doth runneth over.
Yeah, I just went for it. Just giving the flavor.
Yeah,
of,
yeah.
You know,
get a little Shakespearean flavor on that diva cup.
So, yeah, so I finally got from a brand that is queer, either completely or largely owned and operated, called Period Isle. This is not a, this is not paid, but I wish it was, but it's not. But they're just a cool, really inclusive brand for folks that have periods. And it's cool because they've got, like, boxer style, they've got thong style, they've got regular, like, booty cut style, like, typical what you picture underwear, like, if you drew it when you were a kid, style.
So walk me through the quirks and features.
So basically, depending on the ones that you choose, they have different absorbency levels, but it's, like, very thin. Like, it's this special fabric on the crotch area that is, like, you wouldn't even notice it. It's not like you're wearing, like, a diaper or something like that. It's not bulky like a pad would be or
it's
anything
a
like that.
For sure.
Yeah, it's very probably literally a ShamWow.
Dead serious.
Like, actually.
Yeah.
And it tells you, depending on which pair of underwear you purchase, like, it can fit the absorbency of, like, 2 tampons or 4 tampons or whatever. So it's like, for some people, they might just wear it, like, without anything. So, like, something cool is, this is really just because it's sounding like an ad. It's not. I just think this is a cool idea. I like that there's, I know this isn't the first company that's done it, but I like how inclusive they are. Because some folks don't want to insert diva cups or tampons, trans folks in particular. Like, they're not interested in doing that. So it's great because with the boxers, you don't actually have to, like, wear quote-unquote feminine products.
Yep.
You can just wear boxers that make you feel like you. And then it's got, like, 4 tampons worth of absorbency, like, built into the underwear.
That's some good absorbency.
I think it's, like, so great.
So does it do you wash them? They refresh?
Yeah, you wash them. They refresh. They're not disposable. You wash them.
Do you have to wash them separately?
That's a good question. It comes out. It's like just like
yeah.
Freddie's been here.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I feel like it's happened again. Got my Halloween costume.
I mean,
at
I
least.
I think I will just wash that by themselves. But
like you'll hand wash it with one of those like rake things in a the river,
old
like like an Amish
Laura
woman.
Ingalls. Yeah, Lois of the Prairie style. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I bought. Bought a few pairs. I'm excited to try them out. I still haven't tried them. They come soon, but this has literally been the highlight of my week because for anyone who has a period, you might know that if you have a fucking heavy flow, it really just ruins everything.
And a wide-set vagina.
Yeah. The combo of both, let me tell you. It's so dangerous.
And you know what those would be great for?
What?
Wearing on vacation.
Mm. I agree. Because when you're going on vacation and you get your period, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm on this gay vacation. Oh, my God. But anyways, gaycation. The reason I wanted to talk about this, because I do think that traveling when you're queer is unique. And we've talked a bit about that.
Yeah.
Looking for safe spaces. But I think in addition to that, in more of a fun and fresh sense. Like,
fun flesh.
You know, there's this
flesh. Jesus, it really is spooky
Jesus
season.
Christ.
Fun flesh.
Is... For queer people and certain queer people, it might maybe different for you than it is for me.
Okay.
A lot of times when I'm looking for a place to go with friends or with Julia or whatever it is, I'm also looking if there's like queer spaces or things to do.
Yes.
Like I find a lot of times when we're picking things to do for our itinerary, like let's say we're going to choose a new city to go to the States. One of the first things I look up after looking up, like, okay, are these certain touristy things that we want to do? Yes, cool. Then it's like, okay, do they have a gay bar? Like, if we're going to go out one night, like, do they have a gay bar?
Is there somewhere safe to go out?
Is there somewhere safe to go out? And it kind of becomes, like, part of the planning and, like, a lot of times the choice maker.
Yep.
Like, I know that there's certain times where we've chosen, like, certain breweries over others because they've... promoted themselves as being queer owned or a safe, inclusive space. So I think it's just like this added layer of when you're going on a gaycation because you're gay and you're going on vacation, it like actually for a lot of people has to do with a lot of their planning and choices.
Well, I remember when, because in my university in fourth year for interior design, they always do a field study, which is basically the start of the year. Oh, no, the year before. At the end of year three, you start planning a trip for year four.
Okay.
So you go all together and you do, like, sketching and go to all the different architectural and design places of that city. Right. And I had to keep being, like, they would, I forget where our my classmates were suggesting, but there was quite a few that I was like, oh, I can't go here.
Yeah, that's actually like, I can't.
Yeah, I was like, I will be stoned to death.
Yeah.
So probably not that great architecture.
Gorgeous.
But only for you guys because I will be dead.
Yeah. It's totally a really like different dynamic, right? Because there's, even I remember some of my guy friends a couple years back, this got kiboshed altogether because of the panorama, but they were like, let's go on a group trip somewhere, and they're throwing out different ideas because they wanted to do like more of an international planned out like few week trip.
Yep.
And same thing, like a few of them I had to just be like, I can't go there.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't feel comfortable going there. Like I looked it up, does looks a little dicey for me.
That's like, I would love to go to Dubai.
Yes.
And I know I've read a lot that you can have very good travels in Dubai. There's a lot of safe spaces, but there's a lot of very unsafe spaces.
Yeah.
And also I just, it stresses me out giving, not like they need any more money.
No.
It stresses me out giving somewhere money that does not, like, basically consider me a human.
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm going to vote with my dollar on that one. But would love to go to Dubai, one of those, like, sand islands. How fun.
Oh, yeah. Very beautiful and fun.
Yeah.
But I also, that's the other thing with it. Like, sometimes when you're looking at places to travel, they're like, oh, but you can do it safely if you have the right guide, or you go to these areas and not these areas and da-da-da. It's like, I don't want to be thinking that much on vacation.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, oh, my God, like, if I go two blocks the wrong way, am I going to get hate crimed? Like, and I know that can happen anywhere.
Picture that, and then being vegan.
Oh.
I'm like, will I get killed here? And then if I survive, will I have diarrhea?
Will I absolutely starve to
death? I'm like, will I be shitting my absolute brains out and die because of that? So.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So yes, it's the safety thing is the first added dynamic of gay travel.
I remember one of the first, or kind of the first few gaycations I went on.
Right.
And they were just cabins.
Okay.
With friends that had come out to one another, but not their parents. And I remember we would go, we were like freshly 19.
Yeah.
We all had our own cars, like just absolute beaters. We would get alcohol and like go to these cabins, or we went to Palm Springs when we were like, I think we were like 17.
Yeah.
And one of my friend's moms was down there the week before us and like bought us a bunch of alcohol.
Oh my God.
And so that one was actually before I was even out.
Right.
And so I wasn't really a heavy drinker at that point. And I'm still not. Jesus Christ. At that point. I mean, we're getting there in this panorama. But and I remember drinking heavily with my friend, and neither of us had come out to each other. And we like talked about being gay in a hot tub in Palm Springs.
Oh, I love that.
So I feel like those are
the moments.
Yeah, but I think getting young people together, and obviously the alcohol helps, but getting young.
Okay, do not take our advice.
No, if you're underage, do not drink. You're going to go to jail. I will report you. But if you do drink with your friends, you'll find out they're all gay. So. Yeah, I remember some of the first few gaycations I went on was like everybody was kind of figuring their own shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And having the freedom, like, it's so liberating to be away from family and kind of just people that know you in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such a weight off your shoulders to just be at, like, a cabin or be away with a few of your friends.
Yeah.
And just, you can kind of live, like, as your authentic self that you're kind of figuring out. Like, I remember it was kind of like when I went to Mexico for the first few times.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents would go do their own thing, and me and my sister would go, once again, underage drink. Jail for all of you doing that currently, though. but we would go underage drink and meet people, and I could almost, like, be somebody else.
Yes.
And now I'm, like, the person that I was being is who I am now.
Totally.
But I didn't have to explain to them, you know, that I didn't have a girlfriend, all these things. And it was, like, I feel a lot of people wouldn't ask if I was gay.
Yeah.
It was just kind of understood.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I relate to that because, I mean, we've talked about...
We know about your fucking Mexico trip.
Mexico adventures, let me tell you. It is different because you
Faithful
just...
evening. In a hot tub, too, wasn't it?
Well, there were hot tubs. There was also sports bars. There was also... There was some places.
Lesbians in a sports bar? That's a shock.
Yeah, there's a difference. Like, there's something about being, like... It almost feels safer. Like, you're out of your regular comfort zone. Maybe you're away from your friends. Like you said, you're on vacation. You meet other people. And you get to kind of, like, reinvent yourself a little bit for, like, that time. I don't know. It's nice. Like, no one knows any of your backstory. And it just feels like a weird little, like, fresh start.
Totally.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
For me, something that I recently realized about traveling and about how I pick... what I do when I travel.
Okay.
I have this thing that, like, a lot of people reach out to me, like, friends when they're coming into Vancouver, as you do with, if I was traveling somewhere and I knew someone that lived in Boston, I would ask them for suggestions. And I've realized how different, because I had it, like, back to back in a week. One friend that is a lesbian, and her and a girlfriend were going to come to Vancouver, message me, and then, like, another friend who's straight, who has a fiance guy, asked me as well. And literally the itineraries I sent them of suggestions,
vastly different,
could not have been more different.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not saying, like, I hate to stereotype it, like, I'm not saying that, like, obviously, like, the gay couple could have gone and done the, like, quote-unquote straight things, but it was just interesting because they're like, we're only coming for a weekend, like, we want to, like, I knew the type of couple, like, they want to go out in the gayborhood and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, okay, so you're going to go to Score for Brunch, which is a restaurant on Davie. Listeners taking notes if they want to come to Vancouver.
You're getting this for free. Yeah. No Patreon bonus needed.
I'm like, Wednesdays, they've got this drag show at this bar. Sundays, they've got this drag show at this bar. Saturday, there's a lesbian event at this fucking back alley.
This warehouse.
And it's like, I send this off and then, like, you know, mix in the regular touristy things. Oh, you should walk the seawall. Oh, you should whatever. And I send it off. And then my suggestion to other people is, like, so far from it. I'm like, there's like a flyover Vancouver. Yeah. Do you guys like hiking? Because there's some fantastic spots. Like, the restaurants I suggested were different, like Yale Town opposed to, like, Davie Street. It's just funny. Like, it's like, as I was sending it, I was like, I'm almost stereotyping ourselves, but it's not, it's like, it is a stereotype that you'd only want to be around other gay people, but it's also because it's like, you just know they're gonna have a fun experience and it's gonna be a safe space,
for sure,
especially since I knew where they were traveling from. They don't have those spaces.
Yeah,
so I was like excited to show off that, like, it's like, look at all this cool queer stuff you can do that's going on.
I do love, like, some cities obviously have established places for queer women, but I do love that if I was to make an itinerary for just, like, gay friends asking me, I could list just bars and it would be like, oh, that is a gay bar. But for queer women, it's like, oh, well, there's actually this party on a shipping container on a moving boat that you have to get your own dinghy to. Like, it's the most absurd locations.
I know.
And then they're like, and it's called Squirt.
It's so true. It's, like, literally painful. And also, like, one of my favorite things about it, too, is, like, there's, like, this thing, particularly amongst lesbians, that when, like, gay bars are mentioned, you have to, like, ask the additional question, like, okay, yeah, but do women go there, too? Like, it's like an added question. Like, when I'm looking up to go into an area with Julia, like, we're traveling, we want to go out, it's easy to find, like, in a Google search, like, where are the gay bars, if there are any. But then you have to do the, like, background research. You have to go to their Instagram. You have to, like, look at the pictures on their page. Do they have, like, a quote-unquote women's night? Do they have, are there lesbians in the crowd? Are we just looking at a bunch of, like, circuit gays? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, this added layer of, okay, it says it's queer, but does that mean we're just going to be walking in with a bunch of cis gay men?
Yeah.
It's like,
and 99% of the time you will.
You will.
Yeah.
So it's like, I spoke last time about Portland or a couple of episodes ago.
Not this again.
And no, but this is funny.
Not like, the Portland sponsorship.
No, when Julia and I, when Julia and I went to Portland, we like went out to some of the like more generic gay bars, and they were really fun, and there was a good mix of the crowd. But then one of the nights we had looked up through like an extensive Instagram hunt.
Okay.
This queer
drop
women.
Drop that.
Drop what? Oh, this
yeah.
This little thing?
Yeah, no, stop that. I feel like a dog owner
here.
Right now.
Drop it.
What's that? What's in your mouth?
We found this queer women night. So I still laugh about this because it's funny because it's like the same in so many cities. It doesn't matter where you go, we all get just like the shaft, pun not intended.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we gotta go, like this will be so fun. And we go, and it's literally in like a basically like school gymnasium, and it was literally like one of those spaces that like could have been like for 18 different things. Like you could tell it's just like a rent out like art yeah. space. It like had a fucking basketball court, and then it also has like a strobe light in the corner kind of vibe. And literally Julia and I, we had the best time because it was hysterical, but literally there's this like huge space and there's like 17 fucking people there.
That makes me sad.
And it was like, we found out afterwards that the event was called, something along the lines of like Inferno something rather, and it was a nod to women that were in menopause.
So like, that was perfect for was, you.
Which is why it's
with
so
your
funny.
People.
It was a queer women over 40 event.
The DJ's like, is anyone hot right now?
And it was literally like for specifically for queer women over 40, which as I'm getting older, because at the time I think I was like 23, I was like, oh, why would you need that? Like, whatever. And then as I'm getting older and you start going back to bars, even at 29, and you're in bars with 18-year-olds, you realize that if you were a single woman, you'd want to be like, okay, where are people my age? Like, if I'm out wanting to find people or, like, dance with people, I don't want to be, like, nothing against 18-year-olds, but, like, that's fucking creepy.
Nothing against 18-year-olds, but fuck all of you.
But, like, but if I'm 40 and single, I'm not gonna, I don't want to go to, like, if you went out on Davie Street, any of the, like, single lesbians there are going to be, like, 19 years old, and then you're like, okay. So that's what it was. It was a specialty monthly event for, like, mingling for, like, over 40s.
For
and
sure.
We didn't get that memo. Yeah. So we were just like, oh, this is what it was called. I forgot what it was called. It was called Hot Flash. Which, great name.
At least it wasn't called, like, In Heat or something. Which kind of would have been good.
That's every
bitches
other
in heat.
Bitches in heat. Oh,
that's
my
a
God,
good
I
one.
Love that. But, yeah, so we went. It did end up getting somewhere around, like, I would say the 32-person mark.
Fucking
but it was a very
bumping.
Big space. And then it was just dark with, like, a few random lights going. And then on the stage, they just randomly had, like, a fire dancer.
There's the Inferno, baby.
For that. And it was like, it was a great time. We had literally the best time. It
oh,
was so
good.
Fun. And everyone was so nice and like fun. And like, could tell we were just like fish out of water. We like just had stumbled upon it. But that's the fun of travel. But I do find like when Julia and I, we laugh at each other when we're like going away. Like you're going away this
I
week.
I am. Yeah.
Would you like, I guess the place you're going isn't somewhere you would look this up, but like would that be something you'd do when you're going away, like where are the gays at, or is that just more of a like
depends on what kind of trip, like
right.
This trip is literally me and my boyfriend drinking red wine, and mm-hmm. I told him, he asked me what I wanted to do, we're right. going to Tofino and Victoria, which is on Vancouver Island. Tofino is like a surfing town
yeah.
that I've never been to, which shocks everybody, mm-hmm. kind of including myself. and my boyfriend asked what I wanted to do, and we're kind of on the cusp of storm watching season.
Ooh.
And I said that I basically was just going to be drinking a glass of red wine that mm-hmm. never emptied and walking up and down the stormy beach with a speaker playing the Big Little Lies theme song and
gorgeous.
Just like hauntingly like walking up to trees and mm-hmm. really feeling my white wasp woman fantasy.
Oh,
like I just
I
killed
that.
My husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to be doing. But if it was a different kind of trip, I would be like, where are the gays?
Yeah, where
Mind
are the
Mind you,
gays?
I feel like I could come across gays doing that exact same thing.
Oh, you'll
thing.
Find them.
Yeah, we'll
you'll
pass each other with our speakers. We're like,
Hey, Gabers. Today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention, and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch. And honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
Cheers each other yeah. with your little red wine glasses.
Absolutely.
Love that for you. Yeah, no, it's funny, like, there's a whole other thing, and I don't know if maybe this is the same for you, so you tell me. I don't know if this is like it is with gay bars and how, like, queer women have to find other random spaces. But there's, like, very particular lesbian events that happen.
Yeah.
That everyone travels to, and I don't know if it's because, like, there's not as many, like, official, like, brick-and-mortar spots.
Yep.
But, like, this past weekend, there was
Dinosaur.
Girls in Wonderland in Miami.
What the fuck is that?
It's like Dinosaur, but on the...
At Disneyland?
Other side. No.
Oh, it's Disney World.
No.
Wait, what? It's not?
It's called Girls in Wonderland. It's just, like...
And it has no affiliation with Disneyland.
I don't... It's like pool parties. It's like Dinosaur. It's okay. Like Miami, like, parties.
I think it's a missed opportunity. It's not Disney themed.
I mean, I don't know enough about it. I haven't been. Maybe Mickey Mouse shows up. I'm not sure.
It would be Minnie Mouse,
Oh, sorry,
first of all.
Yeah. Very rude of me. But, yeah, so basically they... just had that. 2 weeks before that was Dinosaur, which is, like, a huge, we've talked about it before.
Yep.
Weekend, there's Klexicon, there's, one I don't remember what it's called, but, in Spain, there's a fucking huge one that happens every year that's, like, a week-long, queer women party.
Fun.
Which I would love to go to. If anyone knows what I'm talking to, please somehow just talk to the people that own that event and tell them to get me there. I don't care what I got to do. I'll be a stage dancer. You don't want to see it.
No,
but I'll,
for sure.
Do that. I'll be a DJ. I'll just have my iTunes open and just playing
that'd
songs
be good.
Back to back, you know, my most listened to tracks. I could do some live TikToking, gay girl tips, like whatever they're looking for. I'm ready to fill.
I don't
that
think
slot.
It's any of those things, but
I mean, well, you tell me if they
what if you just bought a ticket and went like everybody else?
Here's the thing about that. I would love to, but if I can use one of my amazing skills,
your plethora of skills and talents,
get me a ticket. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
Right. Well, it hasn't worked out for you yet, so.
That's what I'm saying. I'm manifesting this. I'm pitching this. But, yeah, so there's, like, a lot of these weekends or weeks all around the world, really, that are, like, specific to queer women. And speaking to that, a lot of women, like, choose their vacation based off of these events. So, like, if you had, like, a week vacation a year, you're probably going to Dinah Shore. Like, there's a lot of women that go every year. Like, that's their vacation.
Right.
Right? Like, are there things like that for, like, the gay male community?
Oh, my God. So many.
Really? I see. Isn't it weird how we're it's, like, being on
you
the
haven't seen every little fucking white gay in Mykonos?
No. See, I feel like I'm on the... It's, like, being on the wrong side of TikTok.
No, you're
like,
on the...
Or on the right side.
Yeah, that's the wrong
but
side.
But isn't it weird how we're both part of the LGBTQ plus community, and yet I couldn't name a single one of the gay... male events that happen.
But don't you remember all the drama at the beginning of the Panorama when all those gays were going to Puerto Vallarta?
Oh, yeah.
It's like shit like that all the time. Which is okay. Funny because when I go on vacation, I want to see as few people as I can.
Oh, okay.
The thought of traveling
and
to go to an event is psychotic to me.
Oh, really? Like, I love it.
No.
See, we're so
I don't
different
do that.
Like
the
that.
Only thing, and this is, I can't believe I'm verbalizing this right mm-hmm. now, but the only thing is that I have always wanted to go to one of those giant, like, rave events, God. Only because they look so absurd that I would want to, like, the one in Europe, what's it called? Tomorrowland. Like,
yeah.
They look so absurd that I would just want to experience
you
it
would
once,
just
or
go.
Even, like, Burning Man
See,
or
that's so
EDC.
Overwhelming to me. I couldn't do
but
that.
But that's my one, and I only want to do it just to know what it's like.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to fucking Puerto Vallarta or Mykonos. Like, it's just not happening for me.
It's not
no.
in the cards.
I want to go to, like, Iceland and, like, walk, like, over a deserted, weird, that plane crash. Like,
yeah.
I want to do shit like that.
I feel like you should start a TikTok account where you just do it to the Big Little Lies theme song.
Yeah.
And you just go to different places and just walk by yourself down, like, different streets with that playing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, can you start that, like, actually?
I'll start it into female.
But you always have to have a glass of red wine in your hand. Like, it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a Costco or if you're
Well,
in...
I do always have a glass of red wine when I'm at Costco. That's just for,
like,
my own sanity.
You just have to have one every time, and it's just the same shot every time, but just different background.
Yeah.
That's the kind of account that would get, like, 5 million, no joke.
Here we go. I'm going to launch it. Soft launch this weekend.
Can't wait. Is it Sean.Lusk on TikTok?
So I don't
can
know.
Go find it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Really know how to
it's
plug yourself.
It's gonna be
yourself.
Big Little Lusk.
Big Little Lusk. Shut up. You need to do that. Like, yeah. It's so bad that it's good. Like, you need to change it. You need to do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you need to also change it before someone hears this and tries to get your app.
I'm gonna
snatch it
kick
from
your
you.
Ass if you do that.
Like, literally snatch it up. And we'll know it's one of you.
I think that gaycation is very interesting. And I know you had said this before. Mm-hmm. Because there's a very different connotation about a girl's and a guy's trip when you
yes.
are a raging homosexual.
Yep.
And there's a good chance that everybody will fuck on one of those trips.
Here's the thing. Everyone's gonna fuck.
Everyone's gonna fuck. So it's either you're part of it or you're not.
It's interesting seeing the dynamic from, like, when I was in high school and used to date guys and, like, or guy or whatever you want to say. Guys. I had a few boyfriends. But anyways, when I got to the age that people started traveling, like, having their own car or being able to, like, go on a weekend alone or whatever.
Yep.
Mexico. it was interesting because I didn't have any, like, queer friends at that point. It was just so cut and dry. Like, if the guys were doing a guy's trip, the guys were doing a guy's trip.
I don't understand what a straight guy's trip is. And I mean that in full sincerity. my dad goes on trips and they'll go like fishing.
Yeah.
And I get the activity of fishing and drinking, but what do they do in the meantime? Like, they don't talk about their feelings or they don't.
I don't think they're
like,
really
what do
talking.
They talk about?
They're just shooting the shit. Like, they're just. See, like, I feel like I vibe much more on that type of trip than you would. Like, you'd be like, what are we doing?
I'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
They're like, well, we have two activities, fish or drink.
Yeah. Shoot the shit.
Funny story about my growing up. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I totally cut your story off,
but
mine's probably better. So growing up, my family friends owned like a part of this lodge at the top of Vancouver Island. So we would always go up there for like a week and just go on boats and go to different islands and this whole thing. And my parents and some of them would fish along the way, but I was a child, so that did not affect me. And since actually that's not true, we went fishing once and my dad was trying to get me to like kill a fish because you have to pull them up and then like. Club them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not clubbing this fish. It's horrific. And then they were like cleaning. They were like cleaning the fish. And I literally was like, I'm out of here. I probably exactly said those words I'm out of here. And recently, all the guys were going again because my dad goes every summer. Yeah. But I don't know if I told the story already.
No, I don't think you did.
My dad goes every summer and he asked, they were like, oh, we're doing a father-son trip.
Oh, okay.
And my dad was like, my son is not interested.
My son's going to take a hard pass.
My son does not want to spend a week with old straight men and their sons clubbing fish to death and drinking beer and not talking about their feelings.
It's not. I'm just picturing you on that trip. Like,
it would be me at the front of the boat with a red glass of red wine and the Big Little Lies theme song, while there's just like the sound of clubbing fish in the background,
screaming fish. Yeah. In the background. See, that's my type of place.
Jesus. Yeah, that's Seaspiracy. Like, that's a Williamson bonding trip. If you guys need a real estate bonding trip, let me know. I'll get the lodge up and running.
Yeah. So, what I was saying is that, like, it made this, like, really weird, like, not having to communicate with your significant other that you just would, like, to trigger a trip without them.
Right.
Situation, which is, in a weird way, kind of nice. Because you'd be like, oh, I'm just, like, the girls are going to go do this trip.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this weird loophole of not having to be, like, which is actually unhealthy if you think about it, not being able to communicate that, hey, me not wanting you to come doesn't mean that I don't like you. It's that I need my own independent time.
For sure.
And I think that's why a lot of people, when they start getting in queer relationships, especially if they've grown up in, as most of us have, in this heteronormative space or like maybe in heteronormative relationships, they haven't learned that skill. And so like we see a lot of codependency with queer relationships because there's no like defining like, oh, I'm going on a girl's trip or I'm going on a guy's trip. Like, you have to communicate, like, I'm going on a friend's trip. You're not coming.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm an asshole. It doesn't mean that I don't like you. It means that I need my own space and time.
I think every couple should travel separately.
Oh,
like, I love my boyfriend, but sometimes I don't want him there.
No, it's like, the thing is like, I think it's so healthy to have that own time, have that own time with your friends, travel separately, go out separately, go to dinner separately. You know, I've talked about before that I think that's a great asset to a relationship to be able to have different things to talk about that you've experienced separately. And it doesn't mean that you don't like them, but I think that a lot of people get stuck in that, like, oh, I'm going to look like an asshole if I don't include my partner because they're just going to think it's that, I don't want them there. And it's like, well, you don't.
I have the balance that that's probably the part of the day that I would look like the least of an asshole. So that part doesn't really worry me.
That's not a stressor.
No, no.
But it is an interesting dynamic because all of a sudden, like, it transitions into, you see, very commonly, and I'm not saying this is good or bad. I've had plenty of friends do this. It worked out great for them. But it's something that you would hardly ever see in a heteronormative relationship is having like stags or bachelorette trips.
Like a combined.
Combined. And like I've been part of those.
So have I.
And so have you. And it's like, that's not something that like, it's very rare it happens like in more heteronormative spaces. Like I think I can think of one couple that I knew that did like a combined thing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like, I'm going on my stag. You're going on your bachelorette. Girls trip, guys trip. whatever. And then in queer spaces, it's like, we're all just going to do it together, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I do think it, like, there's, like, a deeper layer to it with, like, not having that, like, automatic easy out of, like,
yep.
Traditionally this is the way it's done. So instead of having to have a conversation of, like, I'd just like to go and do this by myself, it creates a lot of codependency.
For sure. Also, I went to a combined bachelorette, whatever it was called, stag, who knows, there's so many names. And the marriage didn't last, so maybe that was the curse, you know? Maybe that cursed them.
The curse of maybe the combined stag.
They started out on the wrong foot.
Julia and I have had, like, full-blown conversations, like, oh, you're coming nowhere near my
bachelorette. And even that fucking some straight which also this is just, like, really stepping into and agreeing with tradition, which I don't agree with, but I don't know. I feel that I want a separate trip, and it's not like, oh, my last night of freedom. That's not how I feel about it. I literally just want to, like, shoot the shit with my girls. I want to fish and drink some beers. But I also hate the thing that, like, I guess queer people could do it too, but a lot of straight people do that. They'll, like, go separate and then, like, meet up and then, like, separate again.
What is that weirdness?
Be in a different state, a different country, a different province.
And again, like, people are like, I think when people hear that, they're like, oh, why? Are you doing something bad? Are you, like, you said, like, your last night of freedom? Are you, like, cheating or something like that? I'm like,
yes.
Yes. So I've got to be a state over.
Absolutely.
No, it's just like, I think it's so healthy to have your own time. And I think there's something, like, kind of cool and symbolic to, like, hey, we're agreeing to be together for, like, ever. Hopefully. And
statistically, no.
Yeah, statistically, no. But, like, we're going to have, like, forever together. So let's have, like, some solo independent time with our friends.
Yeah.
Before we, like,
let's go off,
tie that knot.
Rail some coke, kill a stripper.
You know, just, tradition.
Yeah, it's all in the name of tradition.
Yeah, I just think there's so many different dynamics to queer traveling, like, from the start with the safety to the choices you make in your itinerary. All around, I am a big fan of just trying to make every trip as gay as possible.
Well, yeah. Every trip I go on will be as gay as possible.
Yeah.
Because I am there.
Well, but yeah, because you're there with a glass of red and your big little what.
I'm going to do a TikTok.
Sean, this is your, like, you're going to have, like, a million fucking followers and, like, wow, they're going to be so jealous.
Do you think that there's, you know those dog bowls that pop up?
Yeah.
Do you think there's, like, a pop-up wine glass? Because that's
that
what
you
I need.
That you can just, like, anywhere.
Have
you're
it,
just
yeah,
ready.
Just have it on, like, in my pocket.
Yeah,
my
anytime
bag.
There's a moment.
Yeah.
You can just pull it out. Yeah. Oh, I think we can find you on Amazon.
Okay, because that's what I need.
We'll take a look.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, like I said at the beginning, some very exciting stuff is coming up next week for episode 150. You're going to want to be a patron. But it's going to benefit everyone at the end of the day. Everyone is going to be able to get in on this excitement. Patrons just a little bit.
I don't know if benefit is the word.
Really?
Haunt. It will haunt everyone in some capacity.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Next week for
you'll
150.
See.
Oh, you'll see. Okay, well, we'll leave you there. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And until next time, we will see you around the Gaberhead.